This episode of SGHL Insider is presented by our friends at SGI. A reminder from our friends at SGI, if you do go out, have a good time, but make sure those good times can happen again by always finding a safe ride home.
All right, welcome inside the SJHL Insider office for another episode of SJHL Insider. I am Clark Monroe here at the IKS Studios. Exciting show coming up for you today. Commissioner Kyle McIntyre will be joining us. We're going to go over the last couple of days of games, the standings, and we're going to look at some stats as well for the top skaters, at least in the SJHL, as we enter the final week and final weekend of the season. It is Pi Day, March 14th, 314. I don't have any pie here, though, and I'm kind of disappointed. I was just telling the guys, I don't know if my boss can hear me in the other side of the offices here, but there's no pie here today at all. Not a variety. There's none. So that's a little bit disappointing. I thought the theme would be a little bit more adhered to today, but nonetheless, here we are, no pie. We're going to get into the hockey talk, though, because that's more important on this show anyways. But first, we got to thank our sponsors. Of course, we got to start with UPL. UPL Canada, big, big sponsor of this show, SJHL Weekly, the playoffs entirely. So huge shout-out to UPL. Borgo, Cantera Seeds, Capital Auto Mall, Chevrolet, Great Western. Love myself some Great Western. Nutrien, RBC, Saskatchewan Construction Safety Association, Sask Lotteries, Tourism Saskatchewan, Sask Energy, SGEU, and SGI. Thank you to all of our sponsors. They keep this boat rocking. That's what they do. They keep this boat rocking. It's time we get into the topics now. And as we do that each and every week on this show, this is a segment called The Hat Trick. That horn does not get quieter as we go along. Topic one, of course, we have to look back at the last couple of days of games. So let's just have a quick look. There's only three games, two on Tuesday, one on Wednesday. So let's have a look at Tuesday's games now. Nipawin came out hot against the Melville Millionaires with a 5-2 win. And Humboldt over Notre Dame 6-1. Now we'll get into more of that. The score, I don't feel like is indicative of the game that was played until at least later in the game, but we'll talk about that in a sec. On Wednesday, there's just the one game, and Notre Dame had a tough one against Weyburn, 7-2 for Weyburn in that one. So again, just the three games, and our look backs are always brought to you by Sask Lotteries. Some great people over at Sask Lotteries doing some great things. So support them. Get your lottery tickets. Get sports selects. Those things are all Sask Lotteries. They do a great job. Support a lot of stuff around the province. Back on Tuesday, Humboldt, the 6-1 win over Notre Dame. I mentioned I was going to talk about it. I was at that game. I went with my dad. We had a good time checking it out. And I got to hang out with Jamie Neugebauer and Rory McGoran a little bit, who were up calling the game up in the booth. Actually did the second period on color with Jamie, actually. So I got a really good observation of how that game went. The first period, no score, and it was a very, very tight game. Notre Dame had some good chances. They had a couple power plays. Humboldt had a power play early, but didn't really do much on it. It was like right at the beginning of the game. It's always tough to get a power play right at the start of a game or at the start of a period, I find, just because you're not quite into it yet. The flow isn't really going on in the game yet. So it was a tough one for Humboldt in that one, the first power play. But Notre Dame, like, they were playing great. They were all over Humboldt. They were, you know, blocking shots. They were doing all sorts of stuff. The second period was very, very tight as well. Notre Dame actually had like four point blank chances, like high danger chances, in front of Humboldt's net. But Benjamin Motu, he was huge. He made 38 saves on 39 shots. He was just sharp all night long. Humboldt did score two goals in the second period, and in the third period, the floodgates opened a little bit later in the period, and they were able to score four more. So it was a 6-1 score. But like I said, I feel like that game, you know, Nugsy's said it for a while now that Notre Dame hasn't, like, you know, laid down and given up. And I feel like that was a good example of it. They played really, really good hockey for 40 minutes at least. And then the third period got away from them a little bit. But really, really good game. Again, 6-1 score. I don't feel like it was indicative of that one. again, it was a two-goal second period, four-goal third period. Cole Wieran scored the lone goal for the Hounds. And AP goaltender Caden Perron, by the way, Estevan Bears product of the AAA League, he looked good most of the night. I know, again, like I said, he was getting shelled in the third period, and it kind of got away from him a little bit. But for the most part, for a 17-year-old call-up goalie to play against the Humboldt Broncos as they ramp up for their playoff run, that was a very good performance from Caden Perron, so huge shout out to him. He made 40 saves on the night. Again, as a 17-year-old call-up goaltender at the end of the year, that's a big game for them. The win on Tuesday pushed the Broncos back into third place, and they have two games left. We'll get to that later in the show. Battleford's also has two games left, but they are now 1 point back of the Humboldt Broncos. Nipawin got a 5-2 win over Melville. A two-goal night from Finley Radloff and 3 points from Braden Jockums led the Hawks to a 5-2 win. Over the Mills on Tuesday, Tyson Endall stood tall. He made 34 saves. Ethan Rao for the Millionaires went 29 saves on 33 shots. And the loss snapped a lengthy six-game win streak for the Melville Millionaires. And the win actually snapped a losing streak for the Hawks as well. Unfortunately, they are eliminated from the playoff contention early last week. However, it's still good to see them playing hard and getting some good performances from players who will surely be back next year as a big part of their roster next year. Again, Jockums, Radloff, Eric Hoynes had a point as well. So a good group of players on that roster that will be coming back for next year. So something to look forward to for Hawks fans as they finish out the season. So good for there. But on Wednesday, again, just the one game, again, it was a 7-2 win for the Weyburn Red Wings. Johan Tremblay-Cow, he was busy. 46 saves on 53 shots, obviously let in 7 goals. So it was an all-out barrage by the Weyburn Red Wings on Wednesday night. 7 Red Wings tallied multi-point nights, including 1 goal and 2 assists from 20-year-old Brendan Hunshack. 29 save performance by Angelo Zoll kept the Hounds to just 2 goals. Alex Hollins and Carson Bayless got those goals for the Hounds. And the win puts Weyburn at 56 points now. If you watched my SJHL game day video prior to this one, they did hold the cards in their hand in terms of kind of controlling their own fate when it comes to the playoff positioning, because they had one extra game over Estevan and Kindersley this week. Now they play Estevan twice, but they are now 2 points up. And we'll look at that in the standings. Actually, you know what? Let's go ahead to topic number two and bring up the standings now. We'll bring up the standings and look at how it's all sitting as of right now in this moment in time. As you can see, Humboldt has put themselves back into third place, 1 point over Battleford's. Melville's been locked into that fifth spot for a little bit here after their hot streak. Weyburn, again, 2 points now up on Estevan. And Kindersley is now a point back of Estevan. Well, they were before as well, but they're 3 points back of Weyburn is what I was trying to say. Again, that red line is now determined. Those are the 8 teams in the playoffs. We know that now. And Kindersley, as we kind of talked about it, there isn't a scenario where they can finish any higher than 7th. The only way that they could is if Weyburn wasn't able to get any points. But if that's the case, then if Weyburn's not getting any points, that means Estevan's getting 4, and that's going to put them at 58 points to end the season. And Kindersley can only possibly get 57. So we're looking almost right now, depending on how the weekend goes, this is almost going to be the final standings. I think the battle for 3rd could still flip-flop, and the positioning between 7th and 8th could still flip-flop, or 6th and 7th. But there is no possible way that Kindersley can finish higher than 7th at this moment in time. So that's interesting. It's going to be 2 more games. Everybody's got 2 except for Melfort. Notre Dame's done, and Yorkton's got just the 1 game again. But Melfort's locked into 2nd. They're looking super strong as they head into the playoffs. So it's going to be the storylines to watch this weekend, and maybe we'll just save those for the end, but they're going to be with that battle for 3rd and the battle for 6th, 7th, and 8th, but separately. So that's the standings for now. And again, maybe we'll just kind of talk about the storylines at the end of the show, just kind of wrap it up. But topic number 3, I just wanted to look at the top scorers as we head into the last weekend of the season. So let's go ahead now and bring up the top 10 in scoring. As you can see, Kian Bell has kind of ran away with it. Justin Lees was right on his tail at one point not that long ago. But as you can see, he went through a bit of a cold snap. I'm not going to call it, it's not like he was playing poorly. But there was like a 7 or 8 game stretch where Justin Lees didn't get a point, and I think that's why he's sitting in 4th right now. Aiden Hutchinson has been super hot with Clay Sliva, who you don't see on this list, but Clay Sliva, I think, is in 11th or 12th. Maybe he's top 15 anyways, and he's really jumped up there since joining the Melfort Mustangs. Spencer Bell, he had a big night on Tuesday against the Notre Dame Hounds. He had 3 points, 2 third period goals to kind of seal that one, put the dagger in Notre Dame, but he has been on a tear as well. The Flin Flon boys, as you can see, from from 4 to 8 there. Noah Hoole, the only defenseman in the top 10. Jacob Vaucler, Alexi Silvestri having great years as well. They usually play on a line together. Justin Lees is usually with Carter Anderson, and then they switch up whoever else is with them. But for the most part, that's why they're so successful, because they're playing with great players. Great players make great players great. Does that make sense? I think it does in my head. Ben Portner, unbelievable season. And you know what? As much as we talk about Kian Bell, and I said this a few weeks ago, as much as we talk about Kian Bell, Ben Portner, I don't know if he gets enough credit, even though he's 7th in league scoring, for how successful Kian Bell has been. We always talk about how Kian Bell has been successful, or has made Ben Portner successful. I think it goes both ways. I think Ben Portner has been a big driver and supporter of Kian Bell as well. So I think that's a interesting storyline to look at as well. Matthew Van Blaricom, he's such a talented player. He's having a great year in Humboldt, and he's missed some games. So imagine if he had 5 or 6 more games under his belt, he might be a little higher on this list as well. And Ilya Chmielewski, like a great season for Estevan. Him and Keegan Little are really driving a lot of their production on that team, as well as Felix Allard. Obviously, Keegan Little is missing these last few games of the season due to a suspension. So he's not able to add to his totals at this point in time. But Ilya Chmielewski is carrying the load while Keegan Little is out. And he's causing some chaos up there down there in Estevan. And this weekend will be big for the Bruins and the Weyburn Red Wings. So that's the hat trick. That's the three topics I wanted to touch on today, and I wanted to get through it quick because our guest is in and he's ready to roll. So why don't we go to the video chat now and bring in Commissioner Kyle McIntyre. Kyle, thank you for joining me today.
Hey, Clark. Good afternoon. How are you?
I'm doing swell, Kyle. It's pie day, though, and my boss, Paul, did not bring any pie into the office, and I was a little bit upset by that. Did you have any pie today, or do you have plans for pie later?
You know, I was not a math teacher, but I didn't even remember it was 3.14. But thanks for bringing that up. I'm sure my wife will remind me about that at supper time.
Yeah, I mean, there's still time before supper. You can head out to the grocery store and pick up a pie, or I don't know, Kyle. I see you cooking stuff all the time, so it could just be make one from scratch day for Commissioner Kyle. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not very good with the pie crust. I usually cheat a little bit and buy a pre-made crust, but I don't think that's on the agenda. I got to cook a pregame for my billet. The Legionnaires play the Pat Canadians tonight, and I get a pregame meal going probably after this interview.
Let's get a quick update on that. How's that series going?
Well, Regina is an absolute wagon. They got a great team, and I don't want to say this. I hope my billet doesn't hear me, but I'm kind of predicting a Regina and a Saskatoon final. So maybe a little bit of revenge for Kindersley Clipper prospect Casey Brown taking on the Blazers.
Yeah, absolutely. Those are two really, really, really good teams. So you know what? I wouldn't mind that either, given the fact that we are in Regina here. I could get out to some of those games and check them out because there's some talent on those teams. But Kyle, let's get to the SJHL now. It's your second full season as commissioner of the SJHL, and it's coming to a close. It's crazy that we're in the final weekend of this season. But let's start simple. Overall, how do you feel about the on-ice product across the league in 2023-2024?
Well, Clark, certainly for the fans and for people in communities, you really got to look at our competitive balance. Outstanding again this year. Probably for 90% of the season, we had all 12 teams fighting for a playoff position. As we always say in the show, and you always say in the show, lots of competitive balance, lots of parity in the league. And who would have thought that we were coming down to the last two games to determine 6, 7, 8 and 3 and 4 in the standings? And certainly you got to look at, very pleased with the on-ice product, obviously. A couple franchises have turned a corner a little bit, and lots of great individual performances from players in our league. Spencer Bell, 45 goals, awesome. Kian Bell, almost 2.86 points per game. Harmon Laser-Hume and Kenny Marquardt, have we defenders like that any time in league history? And so pretty pleased generally. You know, we're moving a lot of kids on to the hockey opportunities and academic opportunities after the season. So I'm pleased, but there's always room for improvement in my world, Clark.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I get that for sure. And, you know, we've seen some stuff going down off the ice, of course. There's been, we'll get to that. But let's stick on the ice for now. But the Flin Flon Bombers have been ranked number one in the CJHL for a large majority of the season. Obviously, they just kind of slipped down into number two under the Collingwood Blues, but for the large majority. And this is coming off a season where the Battlefords North Stars were number one for most, if not all, of the season last year. So what does that say for junior A hockey in this province and just for the league in general?
Well, you know what? The SJHL is always one of Canada's best junior A leagues. I think that we probably don't do a strong enough job selling that to the rest of the world or to our province. Certainly, we've seen that in the last couple Centennial Cups. The Saskatchewan teams that have been there have represented the league very well. People know when they play a Saskatchewan team, it's going to be fast. It's going to be skilled. It's going to be a 200-foot game. And so certainly, you know what? Whoever comes out of our league this year, and I'm not handing it to anybody, there's eight teams in the playoffs and anyone, the eight, can win. I think they're going to represent the league and our province extremely well.
Yeah, and I heard an interview with Scott Barney today, and he was talking about how there is no easy out in the playoffs this year, which leads me to my next question, actually. And as of today, the playoff races you mentioned have not yet been determined. As late as early last week in the season, there were still 10 teams eligible to make the playoffs. So it seems like there's always so much parity in this league. And this year, it just felt like it was at a whole nother level. I guess just would you agree with that statement? The parity was at a whole nother level this year.
Well, who wouldn't agree with it? Who would have thought that we were fighting for 6, 7, 8 with the last two games of the season? And who would have thought it would have come down to the Highway 39 rivalry between Estevan and Weyburn? So that is certainly outstanding. You know, for a while, it looked like North Battleford was going to finish second easily. And then Melford got back their full lineup, and now they're alone in second place. And we got Battleford and Humboldt, probably two of the best teams in Canada, battling for 3 and 4. And so the playoffs are going to be super exciting, Clark, but I don't think any fan or any community or any team can complain about the competitive balance and really the way the playoffs are setting up.
Yeah, absolutely. And speaking of the playoffs and communities getting excited, Melville and Kindersley have both made the playoffs this year. They've clinched. Obviously, we haven't fully determined where Kindersley is going to sit in the rankings, or in the standings, I should say. But for the first time in a handful of years, both these teams are in. Just how much has this sparked each market? Because this year they both got new head coaches. Their attendance is on the rise. And there just seems to be a lot of excitement around each city.
Well, you look at Melville, and the last time they were in regular playoffs, I think it was 2015, Clark. They had the play-in playoff in 2018, and I think they lost that series. And Melville is, you know, it's one of those anchor, one of those cornerstone franchises in the Saskatchewan Junior Hockey League. And any games that I've gone to this year, the crowds have been absolutely outstanding, probably all 900 to 1,000 plus. And so Melville has craved the winner, and so it's great to see them back in the hunt again. Kindersley, same thing. I think the last time Kindersley was in playoffs was 2018. So that's 6 years. And time flies when you get older, Clark. Just like the season flies by, so does time. And so certainly both those markets, it's great. The playoffs are returning. And I know the players on those teams are eager to be in the playoffs and show their wares. And, of course, both those teams have strong local contingencies on the roster. And so family, friends, relatives will be coming out and supporting those teams. And it's great to see playoff hockey back in both Melville and Kindersley.
Yeah, and I said this on SJHL Weekly. We had Clayton Jardine on with us this week, and I said he's like the magic beans for Kindersley. Every time he comes in as head coach, they make the playoffs, it seems. So good things going on in Kindersley, because the last time they made the playoffs, he was also the head coach, and then he took a hiatus and came back, and look at them, they're back. Off the ice now, I guess, for a few topics here. The Yorkton Terriers came out a couple months ago and, you know, put out the call to action to their community to kind of support the team after some financial hardships. But can you maybe provide us with an update of how that effort has gone and how they were able to reach maybe some of their fundraising goals?
Well, again, Yorkton is a hockey hotbed. And you know what? Teams and communities have to realize how important these teams are to the communities. And the communities and the teams have a symbiotic relationship. They both need one another. The economic spinoff for a community in having the Saskatchewan Junior Hockey League, depending on the size of the community, is anywhere between $3.5 to $5 million. And, you know, the teams put lots of money back in the communities. The community puts money back into teams. And so I was super happy that the community of Yorkton responded, as I knew they would. Yorkton again is probably one of our franchises that probably has over 60 years experience with our league. And sometimes junior hockey is cyclical, Clark. Communities have to be reminded that teams do need them, and they got some good things going on. And certainly this year they had a coaching change about 3 days before training camp, and Emery Olofsson really has put together a competitive team. And down the stretch, they certainly provided some exciting hockey, and it looked like they were going to squeak into the playoffs. So I think, you know, the board themselves, I think they determined that they needed a series of activities to probably generate somewhere between $700,000 and $800,000 in terms of dollars to operate the team and for future years. And so certainly the season ticket drive was highly successful. That's great. That's a great start. You know, and tickets, bums and seats, that leads to merchandise sales, that leads to all kinds of stuff that goes on with that. Then they're going to have the Sportsman's Dinner coming up here on April 20th, and they're going to have Terry Ryan from Shoresy's on their panel. And I think that is, you know, some collaboration with the Yorkton Kinsmen. That's going to be a great event that's going to sell out. And then I think the city of Yorkton and the Terriers have started to have some discussions about how they too can help one another. And I think they're firing up their ag project again. And so hockey school. So they got a lot of activities that are coming up that maybe had been dormant for a while. And I think that every team in SJHL realizes that, hey, you know what? We have to do more than sponsorship. We got to do more than season tickets. Although those are certainly important activities, there's got to be a lot of work from volunteers, both off the ice and on the ice, to make sure the team is successful and make sure the team is in good fiscal shape.
Yeah, and it's good to see that community get behind their team, because you mentioned it. It's been such a strong community for so long, and I had a feeling that they were going to figure it out before too long. But, you know, one other thing that I really loved about the season every year, and it's going back to my first stint in the SJHL back when I was with the Estevan Bruins back in 2014-16, is the Warman Showcase, the SJHL Showcase in Warman. Obviously, it's changed formats a couple of times over the years, but we all love that facility. The community of Warman is always so good to the league for that event. So how did this year's event go over, now that you're looking back on it and you've had some time to kind of have the dust settle from it? And is there anything in the works for next year's showcase that maybe you could divulge with us today?
Clark, you are asking these cutting questions. You are certainly a little more ruthless than Jeremy was.
Oh, I don't know about that.
You know, at the Warman Showcase is a great event. Really, it means a lot to the community of Warman. A number of players from both Martinsville and Warman Minor Hockey are playing inside our league right now. And so certainly it's great when the community can come and watch some of their own play. Parents around the league enjoy seeing it as well, because, I mean, even the parents from Saskatchewan or all the province, they can come to one community, they can see a series of games, they can watch all the different teams. And so certainly I know the players like it. I know the parents like it. I know the community of Warman likes it. Probably second time through for myself and Jacob Faith, our director of marketing. And so certainly in terms of operations and in terms of the event, logistically, I think things really come off without a hitch. The community of York or Warman is excellent to work with. Corey Schultz, the facility manager, has been absolutely outstanding for us. And so, I mean, it's something that that we enjoy from a league standpoint. And I think it's always good to expose our league to some of the different markets in Saskatchewan. So all that stuff is positive. Probably the number of NCAA Division I scouts were down a little bit this year from last year, Clark. And really the intention of the showcase is to try to showcase our talent for a number of those scouts. And certainly with our Flow Hockey feed and with Instat, a lot of the scouts do watch a lot of video on players and on our league. And so certainly you have to evaluate whether, you know, it's an expensive event to operate. Is there another event that could bring more scouts to watch more of our players and more of our individual kids? I mean, that's something we got to evaluate. And I know there's been some discussions that have occurred between ourselves and Alberta and Manitoba about having a combined Western World Junior A tryout, so gathering those three leagues together. And so that stuff is it's in the air, it's out there. And so certainly we haven't ruled out having a showcase, but we're also looking for ways that we can better showcase the kids in our league so they can have those post-secondary academic and hockey opportunities.
Yeah, for sure. And so from one showcase to the other, you kind of just mentioned it and hinted at it a little bit, but the SJMJ showcase was another success, at least on the ice for the SJ, because they got a good chunk of wins out of that event. But right. Collaborating with the Manitoba League has always been something that's very important to this league. It's been happening for quite some time now. How important is that relationship with them going forward? Especially now, given, you know, the landscape of junior hockey, I guess, across Canada.
Well, certainly, you know, probably this year, second year in the commissioner's chair for myself, certainly building and maintaining relationships with the other nine CJHL commissioners is super important. And I think we've really taken a step as a group of commissioners this year in light of some of the stuff that is happening to the west of us. Certainly Kevin Surratt and I probably work together the most closely of all the commissioners. And some of that is, you know, because of the work that Bill Chow and Kim Davis did working together collaboratively as leagues to establish the MJSJ Showcase. And certainly we've seen the last couple of years that has been an outstanding event. And although there's a level of cooperation between the leagues, there's lots of competition between the leagues as well. And so there's a real healthy rivalry that happens both at the MJSJ Showcase and at the Centennial Cup. And so certainly I talk to Kevin almost weekly about different items in junior hockey and about how our leagues could work together in the future. And certainly those conversations are ongoing. And he's someone that I'll lean on and ask questions of, and he's a good guy. And certainly there's probably more similarities between the MJHL and the SJHL than there probably are differences. And last year, if you would have been at the Centennial Cup in Portage, you probably would have seen that the very best games in the tournament were the games between the MJHL and SJHL. And so certainly we have a big rivalry again, and whoever comes out of the MJHL is going to represent them well, and whoever comes out of our league will represent them well, and hopefully they're going to pump the MJHL team.
Absolutely. Yeah, there is no love lost between the two provinces. I always find that. But so speaking of the landscape of hockey in this country, Kyle, I think I would be remiss if I didn't ask about kind of how the whole BCHL and Alberta stuff went down this year. And I guess just with that in mind, how do you feel about the strength and stability of this league as it sits today?
Well, I love this league, and I think that we have, you know, strong 12 strong franchises. We have very good competitive balance. We don't have some of the challenges that those other leagues might have had, Clark, regarding our ownership. And the thing that would probably be unique about the SJHL is that our league our teams are owned and operated by communities. They're run by an army of volunteers. Our volunteers and our fans are super passionate about their team and about their community and about the league. And I think that's something that's super unique in all of the Junior A ecosystem in Canada. And really, I say it, and I know some people probably don't like me saying it, but I truly believe that we have the best Junior A league in Canada. And certainly we don't have some of the financial resources that a couple leagues may have out west, but we run a quality league with quality programs, and we have a quality product. And I think that we're going to be just fine. And certainly there are some threats that we as a league have to be aware of, and we have to build a plan, and we're building a plan, and we'll address those sorts of things. But I still think that this is the very best league in Canada. And when you go out and watch a game, and in particular in the next couple of weeks when our playoffs fire up here on the 22nd, you're going to see a real dogfight for the Canterra Seeds Cup. And people are going to say, yeah, that's darn good hockey. And we enjoy the SJHL game and the way it's played and how competitive the teams and the kids are, because our kids play a 200-foot game and they leave it all out there on the ice. And so any victory that is earned is certainly earned. It's going to be a battle. And that's what I love about the league. And I love the passion of our fans. I love our community's commitment to our teams. And I think that makes us unique. And I think that we need to be proud of that, and we need to celebrate that more than we do.
Absolutely. I fully agree. There were a couple of changes from Hockey Canada this year. I know the neck guards came in. I know some the visors and cages came in for the younger players. Is there anything else major on the horizon from Hockey Canada going into the summer or into the next season that could affect the SJHL at all specifically?
Well, you know, Clark, those kind of rule changes are really about risk management. And I know that, you know, we've been on the record, you know, like I'm all for player safety. And certainly our position initially was with the Pfizers. We want our kids to have a choice about whether they wore a half Pfizer or not. And I know our branch, Hockey Saskatchewan, also felt strongly about that. And so certainly we had lots of conversations, both Kelly McClintock and I, about that. And the neck guards too. I mean, originally our position was that we want players to have a choice. We recommended it. But when it comes to risk management and liability, like sometimes the bigger organizations have more risk than what the leagues themselves would have. And so certainly they impose those things for the safety of players. And it's very difficult to go against player safety because, you know what, if it wasn't for the players, you and I wouldn't be here. None of us would be here. And so player safety always has to be at the forefront. Having said that, I think that probably in the last year, the CJHL commissioners are probably more united and than they have been in the past. And so certainly all our commissioners kind of have a common vision for the Canadian Junior Hockey League and its 118 franchises and 3,000 players, which is unique. It hasn't been there in the past. And I know the CJHL is working very, very strongly or very collaboratively with Hockey Canada behind the scenes. And I think that what people will see in the upcoming months is they're going to see that the leadership and governance of the CJHL and Junior A hockey and that Junior A pathway is going to be maybe handed over from Hockey Canada to the CJHL. And I know there's some rule changes that we're working on right now involving a non-sanctioned reinstatement and a non-sanctioned committee. And certainly mobility of players is something that we've been discussing with Hockey Canada. And I think, I don't know if we're at a point where we can announce anything, but I think the conversations have been productive and have been player-centered, which is awesome. I know there's some other things coming up about maybe having some rule changes so that leagues and branches can maybe do some work to have some special dispensation around rules. And so lots of stuff has been happening behind the scenes, Clark, and I'm pleased with the progress. And I think that Hockey Canada recognizes that the experts for Junior A hockey are the leagues themselves. And I think that they're willing to a greater extent than maybe in the past to identify that there are lots of hockey pathways coming out of Junior A hockey and that Junior A leagues and some of the commissioners and the CJHL commissioner are capable of providing leadership to Hockey Canada for Junior A hockey. And so there's a lot there, and I think a lot will be coming out. But from my standpoint, I think our conversations with Hockey Canada have been professional. They've been productive. They have been empowering for the CJHL, and I'm happy about where it's going. There are some changes that we as commissioners and probably some of our coaches and players would like to see sooner than later? Absolutely. Are they going to happen overnight? I'm not sure they're going to, but I hope they do. And I know that the relationship and the discussion and the debate has been positive and it has been player centered. And I think that's awesome.
That's good to hear. All good things to hear. So back to the ice now, just before we wrap this up, I just got the one more for you. Well, it's a two-parter, but the playoffs are just around the corner, Kyle, and the matchups will finally be determined this weekend, as we've talked about a couple times already. It's coming down to the very last couple of games. But I won't necessarily ask you who's going to win, because I know earlier you said you didn't want to say who's going to win necessarily. But maybe who are a couple teams who you think might have a big run ahead of them? And do you have your travel schedule figured out to where you're going to be for the first couple of weeks of games?
You know what? I think there's eight teams that can win. I'm not just saying that. Like,
no, I agree.
Like, who knows what these matchups are going to be? We're not going to know till Saturday night. And the problem with being in first place is everyone is gunning for you. Everyone is ready for you. Mm-hmm. And you know what? In playoffs, Clark, you know what? I know it. The fans know it. Nugsy knows it. Anyone can win in any given night. You get some momentum. You get some injuries. You get some bounces. Like, look at last year. Estevan is a bounce away from dusting off Flin Flon. Does Jason want to have a return match or an opportunity to even the score? Like who knows what's going to happen? Jacob Faith and I, director of marketing, we do have a bit of a traveling schedule that we've set out already, because one of the things that we want to do is we want to tour around the Canterra Seeds Cup to every one of the series. And so that's kind of our plan for that. I know that Cantero will be announcing some things for fans at certain rinks on certain game nights. So I don't know if I should say anything about that just yet, but I know that they'll be giving us a hand with some of our playoffs for some fans that get to the games early. Yep. And so that'll be exciting. And so, yeah, we're going to be on the road. I mean, the best place to be during playoffs is at the rink. We're going to have the Canterra Seeds Cup. I know that Canterra is going to be around. We're going to be handing out some league awards once they're announced next week sometime. So we're going to be watching playoffs because an SJHL rink is the very best place to be at this time of year, Clark.
Oh, absolutely. And I know I'll be trying to get to a couple of games as well in round one. I know Noogsy just announced on his social media that he's going to be calling the games for the Estevan Bruins now that our friend Jeremy Corrigan is not doing it for them. So Noogsy's going to be there. I may tag along and head to Estevan for games 3 and 4, depending on how that schedule works out. So stay tuned for that. But I know, Kyle, a big important part of being a commissioner is like you said, getting to the rinks, but also interacting with fans and talking to fans. And I'm sure that that's something you're looking forward to doing again this year.
Yeah, you know what? I enjoy being in the rinks. Like, it's amazing how many people you run into that you've coached against, you've played against, that you know, maybe as a maybe are volunteers for teams. And so the rink is we got great atmospheres in playoffs too. Like, it's every single team that's going to be in the playoffs, you know that their fans are going to be bringing it. They're going to be cheering those teams on. And who knows, maybe the seventh man or woman is going to make the difference for our teams that are in the playoffs.
Absolutely. They often do. They often do. So, Kyle, I'm going to let you go. Thank you so much for joining me today. Enjoy the playoff run. I know you will. And we'll see you in the rinks.
Thanks, Clark. And thanks for all your work. Enjoyed the color last night at the Notre Dame game.
Yeah.
I had a couple of people text me and saying, well, who is that? And I thought initially maybe it was Braden Sumner from the Notre Dame Hounds, but it's Clark Monroe, and was doing an awesome job and really added to that broadcast. So appreciate that, Clark. Thanks for your commitment to the league, and you're doing a great job. Jeremy who?
Hey, let's be easy on Jeremy. Come on now. No, you know, it's funny.
I'm just kidding. He's probably watching.
And Noogsy was... He told me before the game, he's like, do you want to come up and do some radio with me? And I said, sure, I'm going to be with my dad. My dad was there with me. So I want to hang out with him for the first period. And then in between the periods and the intermission, Jamie goes for a walk and comes back. And out of the corner of my eye, I just see somebody like waving their arms and like doing a bunch of sign language. And he's like, do you want to come on? And I was like, right now? So I went up there. He dragged me up to the booth. And it was a good period of hockey, actually. I said it earlier in my recap, but it was a 6-1 game. But, man, Notre Dame played really good for the first 40 minutes, and then it just kind of got away from them. But anyways, Kyle, I'll let you go. And, again, we'll see you in the rinks.
All right, Clark, thank you very much.
All right. That was Commissioner Kyle, of course. Always a great catching up with him, and some good information there as well, which I'm sure nobody will catch on to and put around social media and the forums after this interview starts or gets put out on the internet. Let's get into our final segment now. Again, thanks to Kyle McIntyre for joining me. We'll have a look now at the last couple of nights of games. Friday there's 5 games. Saturday there's 5 games. So let's go ahead and look at Friday now. These are the final Friday games of the season, and one of them is actually the SaskTel game of the month. We'll get to that in a sec. LaRonge is going to finish off their season against the Nipawin Hawks. Yorkton is getting their SaskTel game of the month in against Melville in Melville. And a lot of these games are kind of the rivalry games as we kind of end the season here. With these rivalry series, kind of home and home series. Weyburn's in Estevan for the first of a home and home. With this, like Commissioner Kyle said, like this game on Friday will go a long way to determining what the 6th, 7th, and 8th in the standings battle is going to end up doing. Flin Flon against Humboldt in a huge game. Humboldt needs the win. They need the points right now to stay in third place if they want to stay in third place. And Kindersley against Battlefords. It's another great series, or home and home series, great rivalry, Western Saskatchewan rivalry to end off the season. Let's have a look at Saturday now. Again, a lot of it is just kind of flip-flopping home and away series. Melfort finishes off their season in LaRonge. Nipawin is done after this one. Melville plays Yorkton again in the home and home series. Flin Flon, Humboldt again. Both of those games are in Humboldt. It's not the home and home. They're both in Humboldt. Again, Humboldt needs as many points as possible to fend off Battleford's. Estevan flip-flops with Weyburn, again, to finish off their season, and that game, again, could have a huge impact on the standings, depending on what happens on Friday. And then Battleford's and Kindersley, again, to wrap up the season in their home-and-home series. So a huge, huge, huge weekend coming up for a lot of these teams. A lot is still at stake in terms of the standings. Game of the weekend, I think it's got to be the Estevan-Weyburn series. Again, just with how much those games matter so much to both of those teams. Weyburn needs the win to stay in sixth. Estevan needs the win to have a hope at getting to sixth. And it's their huge rivals. It's the end of the season. They're ramping up for playoffs. I mean, that's just it's got the perfect recipe for like some of the best games of the year, let alone just the weekend. So lots on the line, and the Kindersley Battleford series as well. I know Kindersley wants to show Battleford what they got, their rivals, and at the end of the day, Kindersley wants to maybe move up in the standings as well as much as possible. So they're going to be firing on all cylinders, and Battleford's what needs those points to stay either on pace or get above Humboldt, and Humboldt plays Flin Flon, so that's going to be a great series as well. So, I mean, there's just so much going on. It's the perfect time of year to get your Flow Hockey subscription or check out all of our social media channels. If you haven't already, again, get your Flow Hockey subscription because this weekend is going to be chaotic. It's going to be epic. We've used the word epic a couple of times in our articles and things lately, so this is an epic weekend incoming. I think it's going to be huge. So if you haven't gotten your Flow Hockey subscription, now's the time. Check us out on Facebook. Check us out on X. Check us out on Instagram or TikTok, as well as YouTube, which you could be watching this on at this moment. If you haven't subscribed on YouTube, please do. All of our highlights go there. Everything we do in terms of special interviews with people, stuff all goes up on our YouTube channel. And as we get into playoffs, we're going to have more special content. As we get into the Centennial Cup, we'll have more special content. So keep an eye on our YouTube channel in the coming weeks and months. Make sure you do that. Thank you to our sponsors. Again, thanks to UPL, huge sponsor of our broadcast and our playoffs as well, the SJHL playoffs presented by UPL. Borgo, Cantera Seeds, Capital Automall, Chevrolet, Great Western, Nutrien, RBC, Saskatchewan Construction Safety Association, Sask Lotteries, Tourism Saskatchewan, Sask Energy, SGEU, and SGI. Thank you to all of our sponsors for keeping these things going and keeping the train moving. But that's it for the show today. Again, make sure you get out to the rinks. If you're anywhere near an SJHL rink, find some time to get in there. I'm trying to figure out if I can maybe make the Friday night game It's Melville, the game of the month. I'm trying to maybe get there to see that one. But again, the Estevan-Weyburn series, if you're anywhere near any of these communities that have a home game this weekend, now's the time to get there. Check out the rinks, get your tickets, get your playoff tickets if they're available. And get in there, because if you can't get your Flow Hockey subscription, the rink is the best place to be, and everybody knows that. I don't need to tell Canadians that hockey is a fun sport to watch in the rink. Don't need to tell you guys. So get out to the rinks, you guys. Enjoy the hockey this weekend, and we'll see you again. Oh, next week before we go, just threw a huge curveball to my guys in the back who are about to click the button to end the show. We're not done yet. Next week. There is no Monday show. There is no SJHL weekly, which is not typical. But, of course, it's playoff week. So we will have our SJHL playoff preview show on Wednesday. Wednesday, which is a weird day. We don't usually have shows or anything on Wednesday. So 1 o'clock Saskatchewan time. So for those in Flin Flon, you're at 2 o'clock for you. But it is 1 o'clock Saskatchewan time on these channels, all these channels that you're watching on Facebook, everywhere we usually have our SJHL weekly show. We will be live on Wednesday at 1 o'clock with our playoff preview show, and we're also going to be announcing all of our award winners. So it's a big show. We're also going to be having a good friend of ours from UPL join us and talk about their involvement with the SJHL playoffs as well. So it's going to be a big show on Wednesday, and then no Thursday show. Because Wednesday's show is so big and we want it to kind of live kind of on its own for a little while, Wednesday's show is the big show, no Thursday show next week. The following week, once playoffs are underway, we'll be back to our Monday and Thursday episodes, recapping big weekends and queuing up the big weekends ahead. So Monday and Thursday will resume following that, but next week, only a Wednesday broadcast. So that's your update for the broadcast schedule. Now, that's going to do it. Get out to the rinks this weekend. Enjoy the hockey, everyone. For everyone here at IKS Media, for Commissioner Kyle, I'm Clark Monroe for IKS, and we'll talk to you guys again next week.
This episode of SJHL Insider is presented by our friends at SGI. A reminder from our friends at SGI, if you do go out, have a good time, but make sure those good times can happen again by always finding a safe ride home.